Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're recapping last week's games, including Arkansas sweeping Mississippi State on the road. We're talking about the American and whether or not they're going to be just a one-bid league this year. And we're looking ahead towards rivalry midweek games plus next week's best games. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, welcome back to the United States. How was your honeymoon?
Thank you. Thank you. It was really, really luxurious. Had a lot of fruity drinks, fresh fruit smoothies with rum, and a lot of really good rice and plantains. Oh, I love me some plantains. Oh, it was really good.
How was the college baseball streams in Costa Rica?
I couldn't. I was out of the U.S. I couldn't stream on my phone.
So what VPNs are for. But glad to have you back. And Kyle, you're looking like two shades darker, so you clearly got out in the sun. So I'm jealous. Yeah. Sounds like a good time.
Thank you.
But, it was fun. So that was last weekend, though, but you caught this last weekend's games. And I think before we get into that, let's start with our top 50 brought to you by Press Sports, because for what feels like basically the sixth week in a row, we have a new number one. I think there was one week in there we had a repeat, but this week rising back to number one is Arkansas. So Arkansas, after sweeping Mississippi State on the road, goes up one spot, takes over the top spot. Vanderbilt is right behind Arkansas at number two. Following the Commodores is Ole Miss. So our string of SEC teams is at three before we move to the ACC with Louisville at number four, Texas Tech at number five, East Carolina six, Mississippi State dropping down to number seven after getting swept, followed by number eight, Georgia Tech, Texas at nine, and Notre Dame wrapping up the top 10. Outside that, Kyle, what stands out to you from the rest of the top 50?
San Diego State's kind of holding steady there in the middle in 17. They're the highest in the Mountain West. I also like, I mean, you already mentioned ECU, but I like ECU's climb. They've kind of steadily been climbing up. They started somewhere in the low 20s, and then they ended up, they're in the top 10.
Yeah,
also,
Stanford,
Oakland.
We're at the point in the season where we can actually go back and, you know, look at our preseason rankings and start figuring out, like, who do we miss on? Who were we right on? And East Carolina, even though they had a 1-2 week, they ended up moving up a spot. And that's because a few teams ahead of them lost. So they were able to gain a little bit of traction. But they're up, let's say 13 spots from our preseason poll, from number 19 to number six.
Yeah. And then Stanford, the team that just did not have a good year last year. They've had a slow climb. Now they're in that number 25, right there at the last spot in our top 25. And they've done it with offense, which is not something that we could say of previous Stanford teams. It's usually pitching in small ball and true West Coast style, but now it's a pretty fun offense.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, watching that offense last year, it felt like the guys were more talented than they were producing. And a lot of the guys that were older guys on that team, Tim Tawa, Christian Robinson, guys who kind of had been carrying the team in the past, had a down 2020. They're looking better this year. But then all the young guys just grew up another year. And Stanford's, yeah, getting the job done with home runs. I think just yesterday, Tim Tawa had two home runs for the Cardinal. And you know, two home run games for Stanford players are kind of a rarity in modern times. So, they're one of the West Coast teams, including San Diego State, which you already mentioned, which haven't lost a series all year. And I mean, when you keep winning, you just keep moving up the polls. It's going to be interesting to see how Stanford handles Pac-12 play. They go on the road this week to play Washington State. So they'll be kind of on their first major road trip of the year.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting at number one, we've been going back and forth on Vandy and Arkansas and Florida back a few weeks ago. And I think it's if we look forward at the head of the schedule, it's probably going to keep going back and forth, because Like Vandy's got a really good schedule, a series this weekend that they, if they sweep at LSU, then that's a really good opportunity to show that they're number one. And but Arkansas has Auburn this week, so like it's tough to deny Arkansas this week, I think, is what we decided on for that road sweep at Mississippi State, the team we had number three last week.
Yeah, and like if you remember, we dropped Arkansas after they won a series against Alabama. And, number one. And like not very often do we drop teams after winning series. Like that's just kind of like one of those, you know, unwritten rules in college baseball. You got to win the series, and if you do that, you take care of business. But on top of that, they lost midweek to Oklahoma. And, you know, that was the weekend that Jack Leiter threw a no-hitter. And, you know, Vanderbilt just looked like a really special team. And obviously Vanderbilt's still a special team, but Arkansas sweeping on the road against Mississippi State, having lost a series all year, I feel pretty good about having them number one. My biggest regret is the SEC scheduling, that we don't get to see Arkansas and Vanderbilt play each other this year. Maybe we'll see it in Hoover, maybe we'll see it in Omaha, but those basically are the only two places we might be able to see that matchup now.
Yeah, I had heard, because they're looking like they're going to be like 1-2 in the SEC, like it would have to be in the championship game for them to meet up.
Yep, so, that's how they do it in the SEC. If each of them win their respective divisions, those auto get like 1-2 seed in the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's what they're on pace. Well, I mean, they might be looking like that, but we can't forget Ole Miss number three is actually in first place in the SEC West now, sitting at 6-0 in conference play. So Ole Miss will obviously have something to say about that.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun series too whenever that happens in actually 2 weeks, not this weekend, but next week.
Yep, and let's see, going down the rest of the top 50, we do have a few teams that are joining it for the first time. So we get Nebraska joining at 46. That's the first time they've been ranked. First time we've had three Big Ten teams ranked in the top 50. UC Irvine has done really a good job all year besides their series loss to Stanford, and might be at this point the favorites in the Big West. That's a little bit tough to tell exactly where the Big West is going to go, but they've won their first two series in the Big West. Kind of a weird phenomenon this week that we realized after we put the poll together. SEC leads the way in terms of number of teams ranked in the top 25, but behind them is the Pac-12. We now have six Pac-12 teams ranked in our top 25, and then ACC has five teams ranked in the top 25. That surprised me. Did that surprise you?
Oh yeah, that was pretty surprising. We didn't even like notice it. We were just ranking the teams, but yeah, we saw afterwards that like Stanford coming in at 25 really does that. And then like Oregon and Arizona State, they've just continued to win. I know Oregon lost the series to Arizona, but it was a road series and they only lost two. They didn't get swept. So yeah, like there are some pretty consistent teams up there towards the top of the Pac-12, pretty much just the top half. And there seems to be a gap and then drops to the bottom half.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that because the Pac-12 is more top heavy than the ACC, it's easy for them to start rising up, because you're just getting these like fairly impressive records. And each of these teams have a couple of non-conference series wins. You know, Arizona went 4-0 at Frisco. Stanford beat UC Irvine. And it's hard to ignore them when they keep winning. For the record, SEC, like I said, leads the way. They have seven teams ranked in our top 25. So those three conferences are really leading the way in our top 25. And then ACC, between number 26 and 25, or in 50, there's just a whole bunch of ACC teams littered in there. As we kind of thought, the parity in the ACC is just absolutely ridiculous. And you know what, let's go ahead. Let's talk ACC a little bit, because you pulled up this phenomenon that was like totally wild to me, is that on the road this week, ACC teams were 15-4.
Yeah.
Home teams were did not have the advantage that they normally do. And as we speak, NC State and North Carolina are still wrapping up their series.
and NC State is just a few innings away from making that 16-4 for the road teams. I mean, hard to read too much into that, but I think it's clear to say the ACC is full of parity.
Yeah, I think so. I think it probably also was a feature of the schedule that a lot of the teams that were better were on the road, but then we saw like Virginia Tech sweep Pitt on the road and then Wake Forest win the series at Florida State, a team that like we were high on at the beginning of the season, Wake Forest and Florida State, not as much, but Florida State we were higher on like coming into the weekend and then Wake ended up winning that series. I think that could be maybe a sign of Wake waking up, pardon the pun.
Wow.
it's just kind of slipped into that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's but, like podcast penance for that one. That one's terrible.
I'll just mute myself.
All right. So while Kyle's muted, speaking of teams in the ACC that have come back to life, Clemson, after losing a couple of games to South Carolina and really just looking totally abysmal, they earned a sweep over the weekend. They took down Boston College, that's right. And en route to sweeping Boston College, they scored 32 runs. So they did it with offense. They have now extended their winning streak to 5 games. And that's 7 out of their last 8 games. So Clemson's really turned a corner. They're 12-9 overall, 6-6 in the ACC. And after how they started, they fell out of our top 50. They looked like a team that was going to miss a regional altogether. And now they have a chance to play Georgia this week, go for 3 games at NC State, and really start telling a new story about the season.
Yeah, that's true. They were looking pretty down with that 2 games lost to Notre Dame and then a midweek loss to USC Upstate and then 3-game sweep at North Carolina. Like, that was a 6-game losing streak right there. And like the beginning of conference play is something that you definitely don't want to see, something we saw with NC State too. So that Clemson-NC State series is 2 teams that started off pretty bad and really need these games. Like, NC State is about to wrap up a sweep of Notre Dame or UNC, but they did not start off on the right foot with a pretty tough schedule. So it's time to right the ship. And like, it's going to be a fun series for 2 teams that really need all of these games going forward.
Yeah, it's some desperation in that series, but desperation with a glimmer of hope. But speaking of ACC, I think the most frustrating thing about the weekend was whatever the heck went down in South Bend over the weekend. Louisville and Notre Dame were slated for probably the top series in the ACC. They split the first 2 games. They get the rubber match on Sunday. See, who moves up, who's in charge of the ACC Coastal. And the game gets canceled due to high winds, which I don't know if I like it. Like, that's not something games get canceled for very often.
No.
Normally it's got to be at least like lightning or stormy or something. And then to add to like in kind of a ballsy move, after the game was canceled, Louisville asked Notre Dame if they could use their field to hold a practice, and then posted pictures of their practice all over social media, which I thought was amazing.
That's pretty funny. I did not hear that.
Yeah, and also Louisville tried to get the game rescheduled, the Sunday game rescheduled for Saturday to do a doubleheader, and it's been reported that Notre Dame balked at that, and they wanted to hold off. So I'm not saying Notre Dame was scared, but I mean, when the facts all point to one conclusion.
Man, I'm trying to find what the winds were, like how bad the winds were.
I saw like 30 miles per hour gusts, but I'm no weatherman, so maybe you'll do better.
I just want Gorilla Ball back. That would have been really fun.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like, I don't know what the argument is there. Like, I guess if winds get high enough, you got maybe worry about pitchers.
Trees falling down on the thing. I don't know.
yeah. Got to watch out for the outfielders in case there's any branches nearby over the fences. No. I don't know. It was a weird situation.
frustrating, but you know, it kind of worked because Notre Dame ended up in our top 10, and that was because they won their midweek game, went 1-1 against Louisville, and some teams in front of them lost, so we couldn't move them down to go 1-1 against Louisville. But true. I don't know. I think that was some strategizing right there by Notre Dame.
It's a new word.
But all right, let's move past that because that was annoying. Let's talk about the series that everyone wants to talk about. It's Arkansas at Mississippi State going into the Carnegie Hall of college baseball, as Mississippi State fans like to call it. I don't know what Arkansas fans like to call it, but probably not quite something as nice as that. And Arkansas, basically in all facets of the game, dominates Mississippi State. That Mississippi State looked sloppy on defense. Arkansas, which going into the weekend was 9th in runs scored in the SEC and 10th in batting average, but felt like an offense that, like, if you looked at it on paper, really was way better than those rankings. Turns out they were. They had offensive explosion. Christian Franklin hitting home runs left and right. He's been on a hot streak lately and is starting to play like that preseason All-American that you thought he was. And even when he was not playing that well, I think his average, like, last I saw was in the middle of the weekend, it was at like 290 or something. It's probably gone up since then. Even when he was struggling, it was still like 250. And so, like, he hasn't really been playing poorly for the Hogs, but, you know, he's now playing like an All-American type player. Arkansas got consistent starts from their rotation, which they swapped out Peyton Paulette for Nolan Wicklander after Paulette got lit up by Alabama to open up that series. And basically everything Arkansas did was on point. None of the games really were super dramatic. It was just a convincing series win for Arkansas.
Dramatic if you count all the home runs. Arkansas hit 9 home runs in the weekend.
Against Mississippi State, which is like one of the best pitching staffs in the country.
Yeah. And yeah, Matt Goodhart hit 1 in each game. Like you mentioned, Christian Franklin's doing well. He had 2 on Friday. He had another 1 on Saturday. He also Christian Franklin also had a double. Yeah, like the Arkansas batters are just, I'm not messing around this year.
Heating up. And it's not like you don't expect to go into Starkville and raise your OPS by 50 points. That's probably whatever it is, but that's what you did.
It's also a pretty deep park too. Like it's hard to hit home runs there, I think, from memory. But like, so that's also surprising.
Yeah, it's I think a little bit less of a pitcher's park than it was back in the day. But yeah, sure. It's I think if any of like. If you had asked me what I thought the series would look like and you told me, you know, that Arkansas had swept, I would have guessed it was like 3-2, 3-1, 2-1, like some really tight games. And that wasn't it. Like Arkansas just lit up Mississippi State pitching. Mississippi State definitely has a little bit of soul searching to do after that series because they are now tied for 3rd place in the West with Texas A&M, which I don't think they'll stay that way for long, but that's, at 2-4 is not exactly where Mississippi State thought they'd be probably right now.
Oh yeah, they also have the sweep against LSU, which State fans also like to tout. No, not a sweep, 2-1.
Yeah, they got 2-1. LSU got the game 3 in that one to prevent the sweep.
That's right.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Mississippi State responds. I think that the defense was sloppier than that we've seen for most of the year. I don't think that will be a consistent thing. I think the pitching staff will bounce back. And they have an easier week. So they play Mississippi Valley State, which I'm pretty sure hasn't won a game yet this year. So they get them in the midweek before they host Kentucky, which Kentucky right now is sitting at 5-1 in the SEC, but it's probably the softest 5-1 you could get with having played only Missouri and Auburn. So I fully expect the Bulldogs to bounce back and win 2 out of 3, if not sweep Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, their defense can't be as bad as it was this weekend. I wonder if it's like they were thought too big of them or like too – in their own heads in the, like the big moment. I don't know, trying to make too many plays. They only ended up having four errors, I think, but I can't tell on this if there were like plays unmade that don't get on this stat sheet that are just not errors necessarily, but like things that should have been made, you know.
Yeah, and it's tough because if you watched Arkansas's defense, which Arkansas probably has, I tweeted about it over the weekend. I don't think up the middle there's anyone better than Arkansas with Casey Opitz behind the plate, Battles and Moore up the middle, and then Franklin in center field. Like, I think that's the best defensive middle of the field that you're going to get. And like their double play turn up the middle, 6-4-3 turn is like a ball gets hit anywhere in the hole in shortstop with a runner on first. My thought, it's like MLB level. It's like, oh, that's a double play, which like you don't get that in college baseball. In college baseball, you're like, get the lead out, you know, get the lead out, have a shot. If there's like, you know, maybe if the catcher's running, you might get a double play. Like, it just is routine for the Arkansas defense. So by comparison, I think the Mississippi State defense was not up to snuff, but you know, maybe that's an unfair comparison because Arkansas's defense is something pretty special this year.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. I think also let's briefly mention it. Jack Leiter still hasn't given up a hit. It's been 3 weeks and a couple days now, I think, since, you know, 2 weeks and a couple days since he last gave up a hit against Oklahoma State. 2 weekends ago, Jack Leiter with the no-hitter, throwing over 120 pitches against South Carolina. He does it again this last weekend, but gets pulled after 7 innings. He was at 101 pitches, so I think that made sense, right? You're not going to throw your co-ace out there for 125 pitches on back-to-back weekends. But, I mean, the fan in me, though, is like, wouldn't that be cool, right?
Yeah, I like that term, co-ace. It's hard to pick a number one. I like that term.
When you're both top, like, 3-5 picks in the draft, like, I think you've earned co-ace status.
When was the last earned run do you think that Jack Leiter's given up? I have it, but I just want to see if you know.
I'm gonna guess Oklahoma State. I can't remember. I know he didn't give up an earned run against Oklahoma State.
At Oklahoma State, no. The last earned run was on March 7th, which was 22 days ago, as of today, against University of Illinois Chicago. He gave up just one earned run, and that's his only earned run given up on the year.
And his co-ace, Kamar Rocker, I think, is that 3 earned runs on the year? 2? Maybe 2.
They're both under 1 ERA. Kumar's at 3 earned runs, yeah.
I can't remember. I know there's like some mild controversy around that. Like one of his earned runs got taken away because it was like, it got changed from a wild pitch to a pass ball, and I can't remember what's the most up-to-date stat on that. But anyways, obviously really good.
Yes.
But I think the question mark with Vanderbilt is, like, do they have a third starter this last
week? We're going to lose games. That's going to be on the third day.
Yeah, I mean, let's shoot through what they've done on Sundays. I mean, against Georgia State, they gave up 2 runs on Sunday. Against Illinois Chicago, they gave up 2 runs. I think the biggest one was Oklahoma State got 10 runs on them on Sunday. South Carolina got 6 runs on them. This past weekend, they had a 3-1 win over Missouri. So, I mean, Missouri's offense is not bad. It's the pitching staff that's not that great. So I think it's going to be the most important thing for Vanderbilt is going to be, do they have enough starting arms to make it through a regional? And that's why at this point I feel pretty good about Arkansas being number one. The top of the line Arkansas pitchers aren't as good, like flat out, just aren't as good as Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter. But the depth of arms in Arkansas's bullpen and the number of guys in Arkansas's pitching staff that can go 4, 5, 6 innings is just a lot greater than what Vanderbilt has right now.
Yeah, until Vanderbilt can find that third guy, I'm fine. If the results stay kind of the same as they are, I'm fine keeping Arkansas at number one. They have a more consistent – it's kind of like we talking about the ACC. Like the ACC is deeper, not as top heavy. You know, that's for more pitching terms, like the Vanderbilt's top guys are the best, and then it kind of drops off from there.
Yeah. I know, like I think it was Peyton Powlett, he got pulled from the rotation for Arkansas, and he came in relief, and
right.
he's still pitching and playing a prominent role for them, but he had a sub 4 ERA and got pulled from the rotation. Like, that's like a, when you're taking that sort of guy out of rotation, that says something about the depth of your rotation.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So Arkansas is number one team in the country. Not everyone, not all the major polls have them at number one. Some have them at number two. You know, at the end of the day, it's kind of a moot point. I think both of them end up as national seeds, and I sure hope we get to see them play each other in, you know, the College World Series or in some stage where it's just the stakes are going to be so high.
That would be really, really fun. Maybe in the championship series that we could see Rocker and Leiter.
That would be...
Like in the right role.
That would be... epic. And speaking of crazy epic things that happened in the SEC, South Carolina swept Florida over the weekend. Their Friday night game went 14 innings, home run in the top of the 14th. Florida looked like they were gonna take that one. South Carolina scores two in the bottom of the 14th, wins the game, doesn't look back, sweeps the series. And the seesaw that is the South Carolina Gamecocks shooting up the rankings, beating Clemson, dropping down the rankings, getting swept by Texas, getting beat on the road by Vanderbilt. Now they sweep Florida and they've seesawed back up into the top 25 and higher in the top 15. So, I mean.
That first game made me so mad. I was up until. Like, it was 11:30. Like, I was just tired coming back from my trip. And I was like, I usually stay later than that, but I was sitting there on my phone, kind of had the game off to the side, just doing nothing. My wife had gone to sleep. I was about to, like, go back to sleep. And I like, looked over, and nothing was happening. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll get ready for bed. And then I, like, got in bed, checked Twitter, and saw that you tweeted out the final score. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, and I missed, like, by a few minutes, the final score.
Yeah, a whole lot of, like, what? In a game that both starters gave up 4 or 5 runs, there was then just bullpens came and quieted things down for a while, and then
yeah.
The 14th had a flurry of activity. Everyone just wanted to go home at that point. But South Carolina, looking ahead at their schedule, has, I mean, not a light schedule, but when you're in the midst of SEC play, relatively speaking, I would say at this point, their schedule has gotten a lot lighter now. So, you know, we mentioned that they've already played Vanderbilt on the road and now Florida at home. And the fact that they went 4-2 in those 6 games, you got to feel pretty good about that if you're a Gamecocks fan. They go at Georgia, who is scuffling a little bit coming off a series loss against Texas A&M. And then South Carolina will host Missouri for 3 games, travel to LSU, who obviously... You know, at this point, LSU is 1-5 in the SEC, and they're having their own struggles. I mean, you don't want to start, circling series as wins if you're South Carolina and just zipping by these teams. But the next 3 series feel fairly winnable before it's not until end of April that they host Arkansas. So, I mean, if South Carolina can perform like they did last weekend and go and win, you know, 3 SEC series in a row, they might be the biggest challenger at the top of the SEC East to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's a really good point. This weekend they did it with like just a bunch of home runs from the people who we expect. Andrew Eister, Wes Clark.
Wes Clark is back. He had like a slump, air quotes, because he's still been like, even in the midst of a slump, he hit a home run. And like, but anyway, his offense is back this weekend.
Oh yeah. He had 2 home runs. One was a 3-run homer, and the other one can't find off the top. Just a solo homer. But yeah, like Andrew Reister's also doing it. Like they've got home runs galore for them.
After the break, we're joined by Little Rock head coach Chris Curry. Stick around.
We're here with Little Rock head coach Chris Curry. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys, and I appreciate all you guys do for college baseball.
Sure thing. So we have you on here to talk about what your team accomplished this weekend. So you go into Southern Illinois, lose game one, come back with a pair of 11-5 wins to hand the Salukis their second and third losses of the season, knocking off a team on the road that was 19-1 heading to the weekend. What are some of your takeaways from the successful weekend?
Well, first of all, having seen Southern Illinois firsthand, they're legit. What Lance Rhodes and his staff have done there is outstanding. They are a potent offense that can score many different ways. They can pitch. They really, really pitched it, and they can defend. It was an excellent college baseball series. I think there were probably less than five errors, maybe less on the weekend. And what I was excited about when we scheduled the series is we knew Lance, and we knew what he was going to do with the program, and it was going to make us better. And as one of our Sun Belt off weekends and a chance to go there, we didn't know that we were walking into the buzzsaw that we were walking into with their record. But it was good for us to be on the road in that environment against that level of talent. And I was very happy with the way that our guys didn't back down. I felt like we had a chance to win on Friday, but they got us. But the way we responded on Saturday and Sunday was outstanding. Hayden Arnold on the mound for us on Saturday kind of turned the tide, went six innings, and was really, really good for us. And then we mixed and matched to finish that game. And then our lefty, Jack DeCooman, threw well to start, and we got the ball to Barkley, our closer, who's a Mississippi Valley grad transfer and has been electric, lights out for us. He's finished games against Auburn, against Southern Illinois, against Texas State, where we were able to get a sweep the weekend before. And, you know, Tyler Williams in center field, he's the number one class of 2022 pro prospect. He was great all weekend. Nate Lyons on Sunday. Everybody contributed, and we played clean baseball, which I was most pleased with.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that offense, because as a team now, you're batting almost 300 on the year. You got four regulars batting over 300. And just up and down the lineup, the guys who are hitting for average, but the guys who maybe don't have as good average are hitting for OPS with power, some home runs. You got a fairly balanced offense top to bottom, and they showed out this weekend.
Yeah, and those are against good clubs. You know, Oklahoma State we've played, Oral Roberts, you know, to beat LSU 2 out of 3 at Baton Rouge, and Central Arkansas, Auburn for 3 games, Texas State for 3 games. So these guys have seen some arms. I really like the balance right now that we have going of power and speed. There's guys at the top and the bottom that can run. All of our outfielders can run. We have not stolen a ton of bases. I wouldn't say that that's our MO, but running the bases is, and how aggressive we are going first to third, dirt balls, scoring on base hits that maybe we shouldn't score on. Those are things that we put a premium on. But then as you alluded to, there's guys in the lineup that can provide some power when we need it. It's really hard to keep up with a team like Southern Illinois, especially on Sunday when the wind was blowing out at 20 miles an hour. Their offense is built to score quickly with power. I don't know if they may lead the country in home runs or top of it, near the top, but that helped us a ton. Kenny Rodriguez was inserted in Sunday at Auburn and hit a big grand slam that turned the tide in the fifth, and he has been absolutely crushing the ball. He hit a 3-run homer on Friday night that got us started. And so you're right. There's a balance in there of guys that can drag, they can push, they can hit a double, they can leave the yard if they need to. And it's nice to be able to score different ways.
And you mentioned that Auburn series, and I want to talk a little bit about that and how that series helped get you where you are, because those first couple games didn't go your way. On the road to Auburn, you win that Sunday game. You follow that weekend up with a sweep at Texas State, which, you know, is a lot of people's favorites maybe to win the Sun Belt heading into the year. And that was a pretty loud sweep to start conference play for y'all. How did that getting that win at Auburn turn the tide and allow you to head in now to back-to-back weekends with winning series?
Well, the respect, first of all, we have for Butch Thompson and his staff. It's a big league staff over there with Gabe Gross and Tim Hudson, and those guys do a wonderful job. And that was actually a COVID cancellation series. That wasn't on the schedule. We had canceled it. We had scheduled a team 2 years ago. Auburn had scheduled a different team, and both of us got canceled on about a month before the season. And thankfully, they're kind enough to bring us down. The first two games, the score was 7-0 Auburn, 6-0 Auburn. They pitched it unbelievably. Tom Glavin's, you know, son was outstanding. Their Friday guy, who they call Bull, was electric. And we were maybe a little bug-eyed, a little shell-shocked. You know, a lot of our players, you have to understand, do not have a lot of Division I at-bats under their belt. And so our schedule was built to get experience quickly to prepare them for Sun Belt play. And I think after Saturday, our guys started believing a little bit. Hey, we could play with these guys. We could play with a program like Auburn and compete. Their league is very tough, and there's not a tougher league in America, but we just felt like if we play our best, we can compete with them. And then that bled over into Sunday, and we got another good start from Jack DeCooman, who's a University of Washington transfer, and we handed the ball to Barkley, and he held him down, and Kenny Rodriguez hit a grand slam, his first college hit. Maybe I should have been playing him earlier, you know, bad coaching on my part, and we never looked back. And since then, it was kind of when we started to get it together a little bit. And then Texas State, who is the reigning Sun Belt champion, comes into Little Rock, and our guys were ready for that series. We respect them. It's always hard fought. They have good players. Tyler Williams walks it off in the 11th, 2-1. And then we take that momentum into Saturday, 12-0, and then Sunday, 7-4. Well-pitched series, only allowing 5 runs all weekend. And I think the last 2 weekends against 2 really offensive clubs have been really pitched well by our staff. And Artie Speedy's, our pitching coach, doing a great job. Noah Sanders, our hitting coordinator, recruiting coordinator, has really got our offense rolling. We've got a great staff.
And just looking ahead at your next couple weeks in your schedule, you're going to get tested with a real good offense in a little bit here. You have 2 games at Arkansas on the horizon, but before that you have 4 other games against some in-state teams. So how are you preparing for Arkansas Pine Bluff this week, Arkansas State, especially knowing that you have a couple games against Arkansas on the schedule just right behind that? How do you keep that focus?
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of the Arkansas State Championship for us a little bit. We've got, you know, Pine Bluff on Wednesday, then Arkansas State on the weekend, and 2 at Arkansas. So it'd be the Arkansas tournament, if you will. But yeah, it's nice to play in state against high quality programs. You know, having worked for Coach Van Horn for a couple of years, I understand the quality of program that he runs year in and year out. We have the utmost respect for them. We're thankful a couple of years ago that they opened up in-state play, and we were able to play them for the first time. And they're number 1 in the country, and that speaks for itself. And so we know that is going to be very, very difficult, but we can't get caught looking ahead. We've got an important game at home, which, by the way, I think something like 13 of our first 17 games, or however many it is, have been on the road. And so these guys are battle tested. But Arkansas State, very offensive club. It's at their park. And Pine Bluff on Wednesday. And then you alluded to it, 2 games at Fayetteville. But South Alabama that weekend at home. And they're very good right after Arkansas. So the schedule just is, it doesn't let up. But we believe at Little Rock that if you play the best and learn to compete with the best, it gets you ready for the stretch run and postseason play.
Well, it's sure fair to say that you'll be battle tested by the time the year is out. You already had a bunch of games on the road, like you alluded to. And so far the metrics are favoring you early in the season, but the RPI is in that range where, as long as you keep winning, competing for the Sun Belt, you're building the type of resume where you're going to have a fighting chance for an at-large bid should it come to that too.
Sure, and that's how we set it up. But part of that is our region. We're in a great region for baseball, you know, bordering Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri. I mean, you know, don't forget, still got two games against Ole Miss out there, and then long range, you're talking about Louisiana at home, Texas, Arlington. And then our and then a step out of conference play, go to Sam Houston. And so, as you said, if we play well, if we take care of business, then our other goals will be met. But the key is, and it can get a daunting task if you start looking at the schedule long term. We got to keep our head down. This is kind of rare territory for the Little Rock program. You know, we're in our seventh year. You know, we took over a program that was down and fallen on hard times and brought in great people, great staff, and great players. And it's the first time that Little Rock's maybe receiving some national notoriety, which we're thankful for, but that's not a place that Little Rock's been necessarily. And so the question is how will we handle just a little bit of success? I mean, a little bit. I mean, we haven't won the league. We haven't gone to regional. You know, those things are still in front of us. So we've had some good weekends is what we've done. And so we've got to find some consistency and figure out at Little Rock how to play a consistent season to set ourselves up to finish well. That's our goal.
Well, Coach, it sounds like you have a great thing going right now in Little Rock. We're really happy for what you were able to put together this weekend. Best of luck as you try to continue the hot streak that you've been on. And thanks so much for joining us.
We appreciate you guys again. Thank you for growing the game of college baseball. I think it's better than ever. And we're fans of yours. And let us know if we can ever help you.
Thanks again to Little Rock head coach Chris Curry for joining us. So the last discussion point that I want to touch on before we get to next week's pick'em is the American Conference. Now that we have a podcast, the records show that we talked about is the American a four-bid league, I believe. That was what we thought going into the preseason. And that conversation's changed a little bit. So Kyle, the question I have for you is the American a one-bid league this year?
I think if the season ended today, then yes. But another team will have the chance to become that second team. Right now it's probably at most a two-bid league. Right now it's – yeah, I mean, you have Houston and UCF have kind of been struggling. Tulane's another team that we liked last year but lost a lot. Wichita State – they're the only team that's more than a game or two over 500, but they're only four games over 500. And then, and a scheduling oddity in the AC, in the American, and then coming up in the next 2 weeks, Wichita State and Houston play eight times. They have
What? That's kind of amazing. They play eight games in a row.
Yes. Like, because the American does four game weekends, and it's just everyone in the American plays one team twice, and it just worked out that they have to play this weird eight games in a row. They're going to get really familiar.
Yeah, I think if you were like these people probably don't exist, but if you were some person who's just a fan of the American who just wants as many American teams getting into the tournament as possible, you want one of those two teams to dominate those eight games. Like if
Houston you want one goes to go 7-1,
or if Wichita State goes 6-2, all of a sudden that team is like, okay, I can see a regional at-large bid path forward. But if they go, so it's four games in Wichita, four games in Houston, and if they split those or something, it's really hard to see a path forward for an at-large bid unless someone besides East Carolina wins the American tournament and then East Carolina gets an at-large bid.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That would be someone with like a proven deep pitching staff that is better at the tournament than in the American than East Carolina. But right now we really like East Carolina as a team. They're number six for us. So I think right now, I don't even know if RPI is meaningful yet, but I think RPI is out.
Yeah. And like in terms of like RPI, I think the bottom of the American is doing better than they had in the past. Memphis is top 150 right now, but none of them outside of East Carolina, I think, are top like 30 or 40. So no one's getting that large bid if the season ends today. UCF, Houston, Tulane, I still think have the pieces to put together a good run, you know, end up maybe with 35, 38 wins, maybe win some games down the stretch, maybe sneak into the tournament. because, you know, at this point, the Americans kind of earned that extra bid. But if no one does that, you know, if there's just a whole lot of beating each other up, then it might be the East, this might be the Pirates at the front of the pack.
Yeah, if ECU wins the American by like 10 games or something crazy, then yeah, that's probably have to be.
Yeah, which is, it's sad. I'm a big fan of the American and the teams that they have, but yeah, looking like a little bit of an off year right now. But looking forward now to next week, we have a lot of really interesting midweek games happening. So in any year, teams generally, if they can, try to sneak in a few extra rivalry games during the week. And we have a few good ones this week. So Missouri and Kansas are going at it in the midweek. Mizzou was tweeting about how the last time they played each other, Missouri run ruled Kansas to win the Big 12 title in 2012. So Missouri is already talking crap on Twitter about this. We get Bedlam with OU, Oklahoma State. We get the all Texas showdown of University of Texas and Texas A&M. We get a rematch, North Carolina and East Carolina played last week. North Carolina won that one. We get another shot at it, see it this week. And then Georgia Clemson and Pepperdine UCLA get a nice little West Coast flair there. So Kyle, rapid fire. I'm gonna shoot some of these at you. Who's winning? OU, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Mizzou, Kansas.
Oh, Mizzou, I think. At Kansas.
I'm picking Kansas. I think those are the two worst teams in their respective conferences right now.
I think so, too. But it's hard to pick.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in that game.
Yeah, for sure.
A&M, Texas. That one's in College Station, right?
It's in College Station. I tried to get tickets, but they were over $100 for a Tuesday night game, and I was not about to do that. I think it's not rapid fire, but I think Texas's pitching is really good. Their bats are just not. A&M's pitching is really prone to strikeouts, or really good at getting strikeouts, which Texas bats are prone to getting strikeouts. So that could be a really low scoring game, which is different than in the past. So I don't know. The egg in me wants to pick A&M, but it's going to be hard. It's kind of hard to. What do you think?
Texas.
That's then I'll go A&M.
That's how you do rapid fire now.
Fine. I'll go A&M.
All right. UGA, Clemson. I'm going Clemson.
I'll go Georgia.
The Tigers are on the rise. They're winning games left and right now. Georgia's slumping. I'm going Clemson. Pepperdine, UCLA.
UCLA.
Sure feels like UCLA should win that. Pepperdine doesn't have the best record, but despite that, I think they're a tough team. Yeah, UCLA should win that one, though.
You would say ECU?
Oh, I missed that one. ECU gets revenge. I think they'll
I think so, too. Back. Were they both at ECU? Let's see.
They did a home and home.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, I'll say ECU gets revenge also.
All right. Now let's move into the last segment. So so last week we took off because of your honeymoon. Week before, I don't even know if anyone remembers the pick'em from the week before.
Oh, I think I do. I'm pretty sure I won.
All right. So Kyle won another pick'em. So I think that moves it to a 3-1 on the year. I'm losing track of the losses. But we got another round of games to pick. You went first last time. I went first last time.
I don't remember.
I you know what?
I went first last time. You go first.
All right. So I'll give you. Let's start with the premier matchup in the SEC that's happening this week. Ole Miss at Florida. So Ole Miss is number 3 in our rankings, and Florida has dropped down after just getting swept by South Carolina. This one's in Gainesville. Who do you have in this series?
Let's see. I'm going to go Ole Miss 2 out of 3.
I think it's hard. I think it's hard to win in Gainesville. Yeah. I mean, Florida ratio, they could sweep A&M at home in Gainesville. Ole Miss is a lot better team, in my opinion, than Texas A&M is.
I think Florida gets 2 out of 3.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick either. It's kind of, it's probably right in between there. Ole Miss is like already kind of road tested this year. They went to Bama and swept Bama. They've had a few other roads, I think. Well, no, I guess not. They've only had that one. But that was a pretty good series to win, to sweep, and then they swept also Auburn week before that in 3 wildly different scoring games. Yeah, I think Florida is obviously a really talented team, and they're going to need to get right on the back on the right track after getting swept on the road.
I haven't put it together. Like, I don't know. No. Like, it's the talent's there. The draft, you know, draftable players, the first rounders are there, but Barco hasn't pitched at the level that you'd want for a rotation guy at Florida. But with that said, Kevin O'Sullivan like doesn't lose back-to-back series very often. Like, I'm betting more on Kevin O'Sullivan than maybe I am Florida here and Gainesville. The fact that it's at home and that they got embarrassed, not embarrassed, but their tail's wagging between their legs right now. They're slinking back to Gainesville, feeling a little bit defeated, and I think that they're motivated this weekend.
I think they've shown that they could put it together. Like the game, the 3-game sweep at home against A&M. A&M's like not the best team in the West, but still an SEC team that is still like probably a top 30 to 50 team somewhere in there. And those teams will randomly jump up and take a game or maybe two, and Florida's like stifled that. So like they're still a good team that is consistent enough to not lose those games that they shouldn't.
Yeah. I agree.
My turn, though. Let's see what's left. Ooh, Tennessee at Bama is fun. Ooh, Arizona at Arizona State. All right, let's do that one.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. So,
make my choice for me.
This is a weird series. So Arizona has had offensive firepower out the wazoo. I mean, they're just one of maybe a trio of West Coast teams with San Diego State and with Stanford that can just absolutely murder the ball and run up the score against you. And like the other day in a game that they lost against Oregon, they were down like 18-10 in like the 8th inning. And I was like, you know what? Arizona could still come back. Like it's like that kind of offense. That's like, and obviously if you give up 18 runs, you're not going a whole lot of games, but this was Game 3 where they had already clinched the series. And, you know, they've put up 20 runs this season already. Like, it's just the type of offense that has so many guys that could hit over the fences. Arizona State is a pitching staff at this point that's lost 3 guys to Tommy John, and I think has another guy out with a shoulder injury right now. And despite that, they have some of the best pitching stats in the country. They had 2 shutouts over the weekend against Washington State, and I mean, it feels like they're going to run out of steam at some point. So with that said, I'm taking Arizona to win 2 out of 3. But, you know, I think Arizona State's pitching has done an impressive job so far. I don't think they can hold down this Wildcats offense.
You said Arizona?
Yeah, I'm taking 2 out of 3.
Arizona 2 out of 3. If I could pick that one, I would also. Dang it. All right, I'll go Arizona State since it's at home. Arizona State. Oh, dang it, maybe I should go 2-3. Third game sweep. Yeah, I'm going to go Arizona 3rd game sweep. I shifted by – I know it's hard to go based off of mutual opponents at this point, but they both played Oregon. Arizona State played them on the road and lost 2 out of 3. Arizona played them at home and won 2 out of 3. So just based off of that – I'm going Arizona sweep. Anything else?
So I get the next pick here.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this pick a real tough one. So 4-game series happening this weekend. Sacramento State travels to Creighton.
Making me pick first?
I'm making you pick this one first. Sacramento State is 17-6 on the year. They started off 10-2 in the WAC. They lost opening weekend to Arizona State 2 out of 3, but they hosted Texas State, swept Texas State,
They've split a couple of game, four-game series against Santa Clara. They went to Tarleton State, won 3 out of 4. Just swept Utah State, then won 3 out of 4 against Dixie State. They're playing Stanford actually right now. Creighton going on the road. I mean, this team has played already, gone to Texas, and played a four-game series on the road, so they're not going to be, you know, too phased by hopping on a plane and traveling across the country. Creighton, on the other hand, sitting at 6-7, with a glaring four-game sweep at Kansas where they got swept. So, yeah.
That's a fun one.
I keep this one up for you, and now who's going to win it?
Since they lost to Kansas 4 games, oof. I think I got to go
this is why San I picked Diego Kansas. State. This is why I picked Kansas to beat Missouri, because anytime you can beat a team 4 teams in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says. All right, so wait, you're picking Sacramento State?
Wait, Sac State. Yeah, I'll take Sac State. I think you might pick 4 games. No, I'll do 3. Like Sac State wins 3 out of 4.
All right, I'm going 4 out of 4. I would have picked 3 out of 4, but I had to go bigger.
Yeah. Oof. Okay. Creighton Blue Jays, home of the College World Series.
Yeah.
Which
hopefully their stadium's ready, because they had to have a game canceled over the weekend because the field conditions were not in shape.
Uh-oh. Because of weather or what? Like, weather made that happen?
The turf or the field was just, like, I don't think they wanted to play on the grass. Like, it was just, I don't know. It was the first game Creighton, I think, it was playing there this year, and they just weren't ready for it.
All right. We already had an SEC series, so I'm going to go TCU at OU.
Yeah, this is a good one. TCU's had a little bit of an up-and-down year. They lost a home series to Gonzaga. They lost 2 out of 3 at the College Baseball Showdown. But they went on the road and knocked off Louisiana. And I think they're trending in the right direction. I like TCU a lot heading into the year, and was worried about how they were doing, finding consistency with the rotation. But at this point, between consistency-wise, I mean, if you're looking for consistency, you shouldn't look in Norman, because Oklahoma has not been the most consistent team this year. When they're playing their best, they're really good, as evidenced by going to Fayetteville and beating Arkansas. Like, the young guns they have can score some runs, but when you just don't have the consistency in the rotation that you need to compete at the top level in college baseball, I'm taking TCU to win 2 out of 3 in this one.
I think I'm going to take TCU to sweep. Oklahoma's offense is really, really good. Like, you can go up and down their schedule and see they lost a 15-14 game. They won a 12-6 game. They won a 19-1 game, a 12-2, like 20-13. They lost. Like, they hit double digits constantly, but then they also give up all those double digit runs. So, like, their pitching is not that good. And TCU just stifled a Baylor offense, which we didn't hate coming into the year. I guess that's all I can say about that. Like, TCU just went 24 or just scored 24 runs on Baylor and allowed only 4 on the weekend. I think
that says something about Baylor. I think Baylor is obviously, you don't have things such as like must win weekends, and the baseball season's a long season, but Baylor is kind of in need of some marquee wins already, because I think they're in danger of playing themselves out of contention in the Big 12 and for a regional pretty quick if they don't start winning.
Yeah, for sure. That's true. But I will still go TCU sweep on the road.
All right. So that's 4. So we get 1 more series. Is that right?
Yep. It's yours.
Oof. I'm going to do let's do the Vandy boys going down to LSU.
Vandy at LSU. I get to pick first. I'm going to go with Vandy 2 out of 3 because this with the same recipe as like the beginning, the rest of the year. Vandy has the best two pitchers in the country. They win the first two. They don't have the best Sunday starter, so they lose the last one.
Yeah, that's what happened to Mississippi State. I mean, not quite the exact story, but lost on Sunday. Right. Yeah, LSU's offense is pretty good. When given the option of picking LSU, if I have to choose differently than you, which is what we have to do, we decided.
Arbitrary rules.
Arbitrary rules. I mean, it's an arbitrary game, so we can make up the rules we want. Which, speaking of, I was thinking at some point we should do a thing where instead of picking series like this, we pick like betting lines where we set like total number of wins for a team. So like, for instance, like Vanderbilt, let's put it at like 2.5 games, wins 2.5 games this series. Would you take the over or under on that one? And it sounds like you're going under right now.
Yeah, I would go under on that one.
Yeah.
You want to do that for the series that we've already picked this one?
Well, we'll see how – we'll see if we can put something together for that for next week maybe. But I think given the option of Vanderbilt sweep, LSU wins 2 out of 3, I'm picking Vanderbilt sweeps.
All right. That's fair. I mean, it's going to be – it's at Alex Box, and that's pretty tough.
Yeah, imagine though – I mean, LSU could start SEC play at like 1-8.
Wow. Or 2-7 if I picked it right.
Yeah, which of course you didn't, but yeah. No. That's our series. So I'm picking Florida, TCU, Arizona, Vandy, Sac State. You're picking Ole Miss, TCU, Arizona, Vandy, Sac State. So we have a lot of the same winners there, but slightly different how they're going to do it, right?
Yeah, just the only one that we have that's different winner is Ole Miss in Florida.
Yeah. Well, here's to hoping that this week is the week that I get back on track.
It won't be.
If you just look at the last 2 weeks that we've done it, I'm 500. So that's progress.
That's a good point.
The move average of my winning percentage is going the right direction still.
Yeah. It's weird that neither one of us has dominated. It's always been like three series to two series.
Yeah. We pick tricky series, and the fact that we force us not to pick the same result makes this pretty tough.
Yeah, it's a good point. Maybe we should just pick winners and we could I don't know.
Let everybody just pick some winners. All right.
We can give you more information.
Yeah. We're here really picking the details, giving the people what they want. Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes right now and rate and review the College Baseball Nation podcast. It really helps us get the word out. You can follow us on social media at CollegeBallNat. We're on Instagram and Twitter, and we love talking to fans. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.